I'm Danica Juarez.
And I'm Jan James.
And this is
How's It Hold Up?
Hi, I'm Danica.
And I'm Jan.
I'm Valerie.
We have an awesome guest.
Hi, it's me, Marie.
Marie's back.
Yay!
It was a little too much to ask someone to go on the journey with us of all of the Jungle Book movies, but we got you here at the beginning and the end.
Yes.
Yeah, which is nice. I enjoyed being part of the process.
I will give a brief spoiler-free plot synopsis.
Not allowed.
This is like Mowgli's story combined with Disney's The Jungle Book. No, it sort of is. But anyways, this takes inspiration from the original 1967 Disney Jungle Book, and also just more from the actual stories or what have you. We start with Mowgli already with the wolves and see, you know, him running with them and bonding with them and Bagheera and stuff. Then like a drought comes and everyone meets at the, what is it? Peace Rock or something that only appears if there's a drought, because otherwise it's under the water. And so there's peace, like the, you know, predators aren't eating the prey because Peace Rock's here. So we can't do that. They're there. And that's when Shere Khan comes back and he's like, hey, I hate man cubs. He's got to die. And so he kind of makes his declaration. The wolves bicker about it afterwards, and Mowgli's like, I'll just go. I don't want you guys to get hurt. So he goes and then basically has more or less the adventures that we know from the animated one, but much more harrowing. Bagheera has to fight Shere Khan at one point. There's a stampede. He has to deal with Ka, who's a girl now, and then eventually meets Baloo and even King Louie and stuff. Like, all the basic stuff happens, just generally with a more harrowing vibe rather than like wholesome is what the film goes for. And Baloo's more of like a sleaze bag, which is fascinating.
I have so many opinions about Baloo.
And then finally, after hearing that the wolf leader was killed by Shere Khan, Mowgli makes the decision to go back and confront Shere Khan once and for all to try to end this problem. Then that's it. What did we think of this one? Let's start with Marie.
I did not like this movie. I mentioned last time I was on, The Jungle Book was my favorite movie growing up.
Yeah.
My favorite animated picture for a long, long time. And I had avoided watching this movie. And I think I was right. There are good parts in it. I have so many notes. And there are so many points where I'm like, oh, that's a little thing. That's a callback. Or, ooh, they did something neat with the soundtrack. But most of it is me just complaining.
So you think, not recommend it?
No, I don't. I don't recommend this. I mean, it's interesting for the sake of comparison.
Sure.
But I don't know how bad the other two, right?
Three. There was Jungle Book 2, goodness. The 1994 Jungle Book, and also Mowgli's Story.
Okay. Can't forget about Jungle Book 2. I don't know how bad those other three are, but
In order, Jungle Book 2 wasn't very good. It's pretty awful. 1994 Jungle Book was actually pretty great, and Mowgli's Story was pretty much absolute garbage.
Okay, so
we actually actively skipped a little bit of it because we were having such a hard time getting through it.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, so there is a different one that I can say I haven't even seen it, but go watch that other one. That's good.
What do you guys think about it?
I had the absolute opposite reaction. I really, really like this movie. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thoroughly enjoyed the characters. And I think why I also really liked it is I really feel I loved the connection between Bagheera and Mowgli. And also, I really liked that they explored and that he was really bonded to the wolf pack. And then I just liked all the different interactions with the jungle. And it was a really intimidating jungle, which is what a jungle is, I would think. And so, yeah, I really enjoyed this.
I enjoyed it overall. I think it's, as much as we hated Mowgli's story, this movie really benefited from us watching that first, because there was
In terms of our analysis and stuff.
I think so. Well, I didn't have to wonder about who, like, Raksha was or anything like that, because it's like, oh, okay, like, his mom, I got that from Mowgli's story. So I was immediately able to kind of get settled into, if I didn't see that, what would have been a new idea? So I got to think about that in the previous movie and also not, like, the overall, so.
That said, probably not worth it watching Mowgli's story.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. It's bad. It's not worth it. But we just benefited in how this was structured. I think this movie benefited from that. Yeah, I think it was probably a better choice not to try to capture original Baloo's vibe and just stick
with it. We saw how that went with, who was it that replaced Phil Harris in Jungle Book 2? John Goodman.
Yeah.
Which was, like, okay, but just couldn't capture the same vibe.
But yeah, like, I think it was probably a better choice too, if you have Bill Murray, stick with his vibe. It was, like you said, fascinating. Yeah, I guess I enjoyed it overall, though it wasn't, like, the best thing. I guess I'd recommend it, especially compared to other, like, of these remakes. I think this is one of the better ones.
Yeah, this is, of the five ones that we've watched, I think this one's around the middle for me in terms of how much I like it. I have some issues with some of the voice acting and with some of the pacing, but overall I had a good time. It was definitely of the Disney remakes, it makes me think somewhat of Pete's Dragon, and I definitely had a much better time with this than Pete's Dragon. So yeah.
What I'm hearing is I only dislike it as much as I do because I haven't seen how bad it gets.
Possibly. We'll have to talk about the specifics of why we dislike it to get to the root of that. Let's get specific. So, director Jon Favreau, writer Justin Marks, and producer Brigham Taylor developed this film's story as a balance between Disney's animated feature film adaptation and Rudyard Kipling's original works, borrowing elements from both into the film. In regards to King Louis's changes in particular, Favreau commented, "We created this looming figure that was trying to extract the secret of fire from Mowgli, and also that gave Mowgli the idea that if he had fire, he could have power over Shere Khan, whether it was good or bad. So there was Lord of the Rings aspect to that. The fire was almost like the ring, and that it was going to give someone ultimate power, but corrupt them as well as create destruction." And I think that's fascinating.
Yeah,
that he viewed it that way.
That's cool.
Such an interesting way of approaching that idea.
Right?
Yeah. I don't agree with
his analysis. What if fire is the ring from Lord of the Rings?
I mean, I get it, because a lot of Lord of the Rings, the corrupting of the land is via industrialization, which fire is sort of the basis of. And
Yeah.
I get it.
You're like, I can see it
that way.
It's interesting that is the inspiration, because the man village, and really all you saw of the man village was this massive fire they had blocking the, you know, on the other side of the gate,
and I guess protecting people.
And silhouettes of people. And so all of the depictions of fire were just really intimidating, almost like Mount Doom, where you have the lava, you know, spewing and all of that. Because, I mean, that was a huge bonfire there in the man village. And then the way they would have the ashes and the sparks and stuff go up, it was massive. Yeah. So, I mean, just ultimately, it was just such a big presence, and just a very almost intimidating, just like Mount Doom was every time that I saw it.
I thought it was interesting, and I think I kind of commented when we were watching about that fire in particular, is that, yes, it felt like it was framed as something very scary and intimidating from Mowgli's point of view. But then if you actually, like, look at the silhouettes of the people, you can tell that they're just, like, laughing, vibing, just like having community around a fire. And, like, that's fascinating to me, because it's like, yeah, they don't see it as scary. Like, they live here. They see it as, like, this, you know, we gather around the fire for communion and stuff, of just, like, hanging out here. This is something that we see as safe. And Mowgli is out here viewing it as this terrifying thing that he can use as a weapon. And yeah, that was, I think, some good visual storytelling there.
I think that scene in particular, too, especially shows how, like, this is a thing I said a lot throughout the entire film when I was taking notes, but especially during that scene with the big bonfire and Mowgli looking in, being so frightened. He looks like a kid.
Yeah.
Like, they did great in communicating that not only is Mowgli, like, part of the jungle and all that, but also has, like, this clever side that I really enjoy when they show off. But also, he's just a kid. He talks like a kid, and he gets scared of stuff like a kid would, and he does have these moments of bravery and stuff throughout the film, but there are moments where you just look in his eyes and it's like, that's just a kid seeing a big bonfire up for the first time, and he does not know how to deal with that emotionally.
Yeah, yeah. I think we definitely got to give props to Neil Sethi, the kid actor playing Mowgli here. I think he does he does a great job. You know,
I agree. He is darling and engaging, and I really find no fault for his little performance. I was very impressed.
And there's some things that he brings from the animated feature. Like, I noticed this more when I saw him acting this out than I did watching the original animated feature, because he just doesn't know what to do with his arms a bunch of the time. Like, Mowgli's arms is just all over the place, and I didn't realize how much that was in the animated feature until I saw it in live action. So that was really cool. And props to the actor.
Yeah. Speaking of, like, props to the actor, one of the scenes that I really liked whenever they were leaving the wolves, Mowgli had decided to separate himself from them to protect them.
Which, like, props to this movie for actually making Mowgli having to leave his wolf family feel a little sad.
I know! Mm-hmm. And Bagheera is walking with him, and Mowgli's just talking, not letting him really, Bagheera really respond, and he's like, and where are you taking me? Like, you're going to take me back to where I came from? Well, I came from the jungle. Are you taking me there? And Bagheera's just like, going and why does Shere Khan even not like me? He acts as if he knows me, but he doesn't know me. And it's like, and so there's a little thing there that we learn is not true. He does know him. So I like that. I thought that was really cute.
Yeah. I mean, and it was. To me, it was very, I even think of my grandson who's 4, and of course I know Mowgli's a lot older in here, but I just mean it was so, it really helped me stay really engaged because it was so realistic. And again, not only was he just going on and on and on, but again, he was kind of like, you know, and why do I have to do this? And why do I have to do that? And blah, 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 blah. You know, it was just great.
Very, very good kid energy there.
Mm-hmm.
I have to call out Valerie saying when Mowgli was scooping water at the Peace Rock or whatever, Valerie was like, that. He's friggin' Flick over here, referencing to Bug's Life.
Oh, yes. Okay. I didn't catch that, but yes. Okay.
The thing I was going to point out from that scene is the fact that when he scoops up the water, it plays the leitmotif from I Go Fetch the Water from the end of the animated film.
I caught it later in the film, but I missed that one. Nice.
See, I say I don't like this movie, and then when I talk about it, I point out all these things I liked about it. Can you see the contradiction? You know,
sometimes there's a movie where you can like a lot or even a majority of, like, the little things, but it just doesn't come together in a way you like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's nicer to talk about the pieces that you did like, so it's just hard to kind of balance. Oh, I can talk about this part that I enjoyed, but like you said, as a package, it left something to be desired.
Yeah. I overall also really like what they did with all the animals. I just mean obviously it was CGI, but it wasn't distracting to me. It wasn't like, oh, this is CGI. Oh, this is bothering me. But what that played in for me is not only did it make it, I don't know. I just really got into the character, especially Bagheera. Oh my gosh, King Lu, which we'll talk about later. But was just so terrifying. Shere Khan, the size, and, you know, anyway, but I just, there was a lot of good callbacks, but I liked it because, I mean, obviously this is live action. I think one of the things that I said in our earlier podcast when you were saying, what would you want in a live action? I feel like this delivered. I didn't know what I wanted.
Sure.
But I knew what I didn't want because of Mowgli's story. Am I saying that right? I knew what I didn't want. So I'm very happy with what they did do here.
It's very funny to me that this movie, along with like the whole Peace Rock thing, there was a echoing scene in Mowgli's story. I don't think they called it Peace Rock. I don't remember. And they definitely didn't bring up like a drought thing. But all the animals gathered around a rock and then chattered mostly inanely in Mowgli's story. Mm-hmm. And then throughout Mowgli's story, there would be a lot of like random animals would just like say things in funny voices that were supposed to be jokes but weren't funny. And that there was definitely some of that here, but overall it was either funnier or just more easy to ignore.
See, there were a few moments where there was some gossiping animals for me, and I was just like, this is taking me out. It's like that.
You're like, stop.
Like, you're not in New York, you're in India. Please stop chattering like someone on the phone.
I did like the ones that came up when Baloo was having Mowgli get the honey, and like you just through their dialogue, you learn that Baloo has tried this multiple times before.
Yes.
With monkeys. Yeah. And such. That was funny.
I think
funny.
That's the best.
Like, oh, he's up to it again.
Best of all of them.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah.
I didn't like the pig going, oh yeah, when he licked it, though.
Yeah.
That part I wasn't about. Valerie said that one's for the kids. And I'm like, yeah, I guess you're right.
Okay. That's a good way of putting it.
Shere Khan was terrifying, though. Yes. And he also just straight up murdered Akela, which, like, you could feel as that scene went on that, like, something was gonna happen. But I was a little surprised with how quickly he just destroyed that guy.
I'm trying to find my notes from that scene. I remember writing something, and I think I wasn't quite sold on Shere Khan's performance at that point.
Yeah.
But I did get sold on it later, I think after we met Baloo. And
was it, how about the wolf cup scene?
That was terrifying. I wanted
like
to call back.
Cup.
I was
sorry,
I was gonna go back to that. Is okay. We've talked about on this podcast before where you have a villain that just it's just not high enough stakes. You're just not sold on it because you just don't feel that element of danger. Man, you know, not only did they establish at the beginning he was so menacing when he first came to Peace Rock, but after he just pounced and in one pounce, he destroyed the leader, the wolf leader. And then that scene with the cubs was so terrifying to me. And because I'm just like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, you know, and then even at the very end, I mean, it was played perfectly. Not only her finally getting some of them away, but then him just taking that paw and holding one of them back. At that point, I didn't even trust that he wasn't just going to take out that little cub in one bite. I mean, it was terrifying.
I think that's when I was fully sold on Idris Elba's performance as Shere Khan, because I was just like, oh no, I get it. He can play that height. And like part of the previous scene, I wasn't quite sold on it, but you know, his delivery was still good. And then definitely by the point where he shows up and starts talking about the cuckoo bird, which then shows up in the next scene,
I know.
Like as a visual thing. That's just, it's the little things.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. And definitely that scene is when I realized like, oh, I think Idris Elba was the best actor in this entire film.
He's definitely bringing it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just real quick, following through with that, and I won't get into details because some of it goes into spoilers, but then carrying through with Shere Khan and his power, I mean, he was like a freight train. And even there were some good scenes between him and Bagheera, Baloo, otherwise, but he still was a force to be reckoned with. And that just, again, kept him such a threatening villain to me.
Moving on to a different part, I liked when Bagheera told Baloo to look up only at him as they were trying to climb the mountainside. And Valerie was like, is that dreamy of him? And I was like, yeah, I think so.
Oh, gosh. See, I did not get those vibes as much, but I can definitely see how that line in particular.
I didn't get it as much, but that was one of the parts where I was like, okay. I thought that Louis was very fun to watch and also terrifying, and I liked that as that scene progressed, it kind of transformed briefly into a monster movie, and I personally am all about that.
I made a note about that specifically. I remember saying, like, this is giving horror movie vibes. And, you know, earlier in King Louis's appearance, there were some parts where I was just like, oh, he's just sitting there. He could have, this could have been a puppet instead of CGI. But I can tell this is Christopher Walken and all that. And then when it gets into horror movie stuff, I'm like, no, no, I'm on board. This is,
you're like, okay, like, I'm sold out.
This is scary. I get, like, looking back at how, I think in the original pitch for the original animated one, they were going to make it, like, really scary, right?
I think so. And then they decided to go silly with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but this time, I think when they really sort of leaned into not just, like, making it big and intense, but making it scary.
Yeah.
Like, with King Louis chasing Mowgli, it works.
Yeah, yeah.
And part of me wishes they did it more, but part of me understands how you have to have that sort of give and take.
Definitely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just didn't like some of the silly bits.
with King Louis... Also, as far as how they kind of constructed the character, not from an animation perspective, but they based some of the character on Marlon Brando's character, Colonel Kurtz in Apocalypse Now, as well as incorporating, of course, Walken's own physical mannerisms into the character.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay.
You're like, oh, I can see some of that.
Yeah. I have a question. And sorry, Marie, I'm going to the 94 Jungle Book. That one had a couple of scary scenes. And this was a little more harrowing as well. For kids, like, is there a comparison between, like, what might have been too much for kids?
I think that the original Jungle Book is, you know, a family film. This one is for, like, a little bit older kids, like 10 and up. And the 94 Jungle Book is for adults, but it's mostly okay for kids.
What was this rated, by the way?
I don't remember. Probably PG.
Yeah,
I guess.
I would hope it's at least PG because...
But I guess to answer your question, I feel like this is overall more family friendly than the 1994 Jungle Book. And that has... I think the main thing with the 94 Jungle Book isn't, like, that there's a bunch of super inappropriate stuff, but just that, like, it's so focused on, like, having this romance undercurrent and being, like, this kind of adventure movie. Like, it just feels the genre and type of movie it's trying to be is less appealing to kids.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And I would agree that this is for kids, but not young kids. I would not.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd say for family.
Right, exactly. I was going to say, so my grandson is 4 and I think it would be too much. I would not want him to see this yet. But
got to be whatever age I watch Jurassic Park at.
I fast forwarded parts a long time and kept a lot muted on
especially
that.
All of the cursing. There's so much cursing.
I know there is.
Oh my goodness.
But also I would mute when when the dinosaurs were like right up in your face and screeching at you all.
Because a little kid really loved that movie.
Yeah,
but...
yeah. No, I know. Because it just made it way too intense. And it's that music. And yeah, but what I, you know, just real quick while we're in that comparison, I think why I really enjoyed this, which I didn't think, I'm still not sure which I enjoyed more, but the thing I liked better, why I liked this better than the 1994 movie, is that it was about these main characters that I already fell in love with from the original Jungle Book. It focused on the characters I liked so much, not just an adult version of Mowgli and a bunch of other characters that, you know, I wasn't familiar with and didn't have any investment in. And even with the villain, with you know, again, it you know, the villain really being, you know, Shere Khan. So, and then I also loved that connection that I feel like is missing in so many of the other, and even in the original, me not having Mowgli not really being bonded to his pack. And I really love that connection, with Mowgli and his family and his mom, especially, but even his younger siblings. And I liked that they weren't like this adversarial relationship. They weren't just like trying to make fun of him and, oh, you don't belong and that kind of
You mean like Mowgli's story?
Yes. Which just bothered me so much.
No, I think it's almost objective to say that of the Jungle Book movies we watched, this one has the best bond between Mowgli and the wolf pack. Mm-hmm. Like, the most interesting portrayal of them. Mm-hmm. Which is, like, Jungle Book 2 just removes itself from the equation because they're not in that. They're very small in both the original and the 94 one. And then Mowgli's story is bad.
Yeah. A thing I will give to this movie regarding the wolves and Mowgli's backstory, I guess, is that the way it's presented in this one, you know, I sort of went in curious how they'd handle it. And at first I was like, oh, I don't know if I like what they're doing with the wolves and stuff. And how Bagheera was just like, but Mowgli took his time. But then after seeing, like, okay, so we spend time with the wolves, and we're not told how he got to the wolves. We're just starting with them, and they keep coming back over the course of the film, and we get the play. I called it a play in the eye because that's how it was depicted visually of when we went into Ka's eye and saw Mowgli as a baby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think it does really sort of benefit the wolves as part of the story to have it shown sort of in that order where we're kind of put into it and then explained later. And you don't have to start with the, you know, sort of smaller bits. And I think, I don't know how to finish this thought. I liked the way they told Mowgli's upbringing and backstory. That's Mowgli's the whole entire story. Thought.
Yeah, no.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Mowgli's backstory.
No, Marie, I completely agree. And in fact, comparing this movie to the 1994, I feel like there were parts when they started with Mowgli young and little that dragged too much because I didn't want to spend that much time, you know, with Mowgli as a baby or what, you know, or little bitty thing. And so I feel like this was a really good balance. It gave me that snippet of that backstory of how he ended up with the wolves, but it wasn't too much.
Yeah, it's just a shame for me that they started with action, and I don't think any of the action scenes in this film sold to me. So, like, I enjoy how they spread out Mowgli's with the wolves and, like, showing him as part of that family. But the fact that the first scene was, like, this chase didn't
entirely go for me. Yeah, you were like, I'm not interested in this.
Yeah. I might bring this up more as we go on, but every time, like, the bombastic, like, horns and drums action movie music started, I kind of clocked out.
Yeah, I guess I'm still unsure about the beginning, but I think overall the pacing was good. In the original animated one, you know, he was just kind of flowing from scene to scene. This one had a bit more momentum behind it, running away from Shere Khan, but where he was led to Ka, you know, that was the time where he didn't have anybody and was therefore most vulnerable. And then he picks up with Baloo, and that relationship is a bit different because Baloo's, you know, pulling a fast one on him in a way, but then they end up working well together. And then the monkeys come in, and I guess, and that's when he kind of learns the truth, and it brings him back to the wolves, to the village and the wolves. Yeah, I think that worked pretty well. I think probably the weakest part is with Ka, and that might be a good segue to voice acting.
Oh, but yeah.
Sure, if we want to segue to voice acting.
I have opinions about voice acting.
There were three characters whose voice acting bothered me, I guess, and I'll talk about them in order from least bothersome to me to most bothersome. Bill Murray's voice acting is fine. An actual professional voice actor could have done a lot better, and you get kind of used to him, but, like, he's just not a voice actor, it feels like to me.
Yeah.
Like, that's not his strong suit.
I just, he kept doing, I guess, so part of me thinks, like, they're trying to get that I did not like Bill Murray in this film. I think lowly. I'm going to go on a weird tangent real quick about Bill Murray.
Sure.
But not really about Bill Murray. It felt like they were, like, trying to get someone who slotted into a similar
vibe.
Yeah, like how Baloo's original voice actor, he did other things, and he was sort of this personality, and they were trying to find the equivalent of that sort of personality in current time, and they went with Bill Murray, and I just don't think it lines up the way they think it does. Like, I have a lot of opinions about how adaptations over time, or movies over time, that people getting recast, trying the same, get the same vibe, and the example I want to point to is Duncan Idaho from Dune, because the character of Duncan Idaho in Dune was originally in the David Lynch version played by a guy named Richard Jordan, who is, I think, seen as a fairly attractive man at the time, and that fits with Duncan Idaho's character. He's this charming, handsome, charismatic guy, but also has this sort of, like, presence as the greatest swordsman in all the known universe. And he fits that. He plays that role good, and he doesn't get that much screen time because of some stuff that happened behind the scenes, but he fits. And then, in 2021, we have Jason Momoa as Duncan Idaho, and he's sort of filling the same thing. He's this handsome actor guy, he's charming, and he, you know, plays the greatest swordsman in all the known universe, and it fits, but it's a fit for a different time. And you can tell that these movies were made in two different sort of eras, because the choices made in casting change over time. I don't feel like The Jungle Book changes their choices over time a good way. I don't think Bill Murray's a good fit for Baloo. Like, Jason Momoa is a good fit for Duncan Idaho. I am okay with people getting recast. I have proved that using Dune. I cannot prove it using Jungle Book. That is the entirety of this tangent.
Yeah, casting Bill Murray, I think it's not my favorite choice, again, because I think that he's only okay as a voice actor. But I do, I guess, appreciate that at the very least it did feel like they bent the character towards Bill Murray rather than trying to have the kind of chillness of Phil Harris. Like, the differences between the two characters to me is that Phil Harris has this really easygoing, chill vibe, but he feels genuine in everything he does, even if, like, the things he does are, like, lazy and self-serving. Whereas Bill Murray is also lazy and self-serving, but feels like a sleazy con man.
I agree.
It doesn't map for me. There's so many, like, Bill Murray-isms that sort of slip in. Like,
yeah.
There's a definitely line I wrote down as a personal favor to me personally. And I'm like, that's just such a Bill Murray thing to say.
Yes. I think where Bill Murray as Baloo falls apart some for me isn't so much when we first meet him as it is later, when I'm supposed to buy that he cares enough about Mowgli to do all these things for him. I go along with it. I didn't really let it, like, hold me up in the film, but I never fully bought into the idea that this version of the character cared that much about Mowgli, because Phil Harris had this immediate, like, friendliness and warmth to him where I'm like, okay, you knew this kid for a day or two and you already are like, this is my son. I buy that.
Yeah.
Whereas there's an indeterminate amount of time that he spends with Bill Murray Baloo. I'm going to say a week and a half maybe. And it's still like, it doesn't feel like Baloo starts actually seeing him as a person until almost the time where Mowgli is no longer with him. And I just don't buy that he cares enough about that to go climb a mountain and stuff for him and, like, fight Shere Khan and what have you. Like,
yeah,
there it's was just a little hard to believe.
I think your point about how Bill Murray doesn't carry the same genuineness as the shoes he's trying to fill is particularly seen in when he's telling Mowgli to go away.
Yeah.
And he's just like, this doesn't sound like someone who's torn up about this thing he has to say. Like, yeah, afterwards he's like, oh, that was the hardest thing I ever did. I'm like, I don't feel
And the animation sells it some, but, like, his voice isn't doing a lot of selling.
Yeah, because I think there should have been more stumbling and hesitation. I think, I don't know if it's a combination of bad writing or like they just let him ad-lib some. I don't know.
Yeah, who can say?
But yeah, but I would agree with both of you all that it was a completely different vibe of, you know, a blues. And when we did our 1967 Jungle Book, the original Jungle Book, I had Baloo as my favorite character. All I will say is that is not going to be who I choose.
I would be surprised if any of us chose him. Yeah. Moving on to voice actor who annoyed me a little more than Bill Murray is Giancarlo Esposito as Aquila. He sounds fine. He sounds really kind of monotone the whole time. And like, I get that that's what Giancarlo Esposito kind of does, but the reason that that works in live action is because of the facial the facial acting that he's doing along with that voice. Whereas here, he just sounds flat and like he doesn't actually care about anything. And it's so like, I just
it's
like
when you put him in a booth, he loses all the. It's
yeah, it's the, it's like the, he doesn't know how to bring the subtleness of the sort of performance he does. He doesn't know how to bring that subtleness with him into just the voice acting. I'm sure he's doing some face stuff while he's doing it, but it's not translating, which is to say he's not necessarily a good voice actor. He's a great actor, but he's not doing great voice acting.
Is there something I would know him from?
Oh, I don't know. He's in a bunch of things.
Mm. Okay, that's
Mandalorian,
right?
He's what?
Mandalorian.
Yes, he's the bad guy in Mandalorian, who has the Darksaber and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say that where I probably bought his performance the most is when they were at Peace Rock and Shere Khan came up and he was like, stay behind me. And he was talking to him there. I mean, and it was, I think, a combination more of the action and even too the little actor of Mowgli, like really staying down low and seeming scared, that I think sold it for me. And so, yeah, I would say that his voice acting alone didn't carry the bit.
And then my least favorite voice actor in here, and I do want to preface this by saying that I'm a lesbian. I support women. I support making characters who were, in most other iterations, guys into girls. That's cool. Scarlett Johansson can't voice act. She sounds like completely monotone. The best I can give her is that it's kind of cute how she adds some S's to it sometimes. Her voice acting fell completely flat for me. She didn't feel menacing or scary at all. I could tell that's what she was going for, but it just felt lifeless. Why did you cast her, Jon Favreau? I get that you're friends with her or whatever and like working with her. She's not good at voice acting. Replace her with like any woman who is good at voice acting and it'll be 10 times better, I'm sure. Like she's okay, she's not it.
You say that. I have a woman who's good at voice acting. I'm going to propose her as a replacement for Scarlett Johansson. Are you ready?
Uh-huh.
Okay, Tara Strong.
Honestly, she would do so much better. Honestly, Tara Strong could sell it, I'm sure. The Tara Strong has proven that she's maybe not the best person in the world and should maybe log off of Twitter, but she is a talented voice actress and she can do more than baby voice. I know that she's especially known for baby voice. She's especially known for baby voice, but she could definitely do more than that. She has a wide range of characters she's played. I don't know if she'd be the best fit, but I think that she would do better than Scarlett Johansson.
Her scene had me kind of wondering. So she relays to Mowgli that Shere Khan knows him. She's the one that tells Mowgli that Shere Khan killed his father while his father was protecting him. How does she know this?
I'm like, I guess either that she was watching from the trees while all that happened back in the day, or we don't see them interact, but she actually does have a relationship with Shere Khan, somewhat like in the original Disney movie of they do talk sometimes.
Yeah,
it's like I don't know is the honest answer to that. And it's like I can get how King Louie knows stuff because he has a horde of critters that just go throughout the jungle.
Yeah.
He has eyes and ears everywhere, sure. But yes, I don't know how the snake knows this.
Well, okay, well, here is my...
Mom's got a take?
Yeah, here's my take. they've shown through the Peace Rock, in the ruins with King Louie and all of that, that there's a lot of critters, like mice, you know, the ones with the little ears at the end too, the kind of kangaroo mice and all these kinds of critters. So my take is that there were critters in that cave when all of that happened, and that Shere Khan ate one of those critters, but before she Ka was did. Playing with them, yeah. sorry, Ka did, sorry, Ka ate one of those critters, but before, as she's toying with them, they're like, oh, I can tell you, or whatever, they relayed what happened. I don't know.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And it's as good a guess as any.
I think, I like that one.
What sold that scene, you were back to Ka for me, is the visuals, which we'll get into more, and not her voice acting. Yeah.
I think the visuals were stronger than Scarlett Johansson's voice acting, although I feel like she didn't take me out of the film as much as, like, me recognizing Bill Murray and Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken did great, though.
Yes, he had a lot of good moments. This is going to be me on a record. There were a lot of good moments, but overall it didn't sell for me, and I did not like his singing or Bill Murray's singing.
I wasn't huge on Bill Murray singing, and
it sounded auto-tuned to me.
I liked Christopher Walken singing in the credits better than what he did in the movie.
Yeah.
I think him singing in the movie is supposed to somewhat like be like, look, he's kind of unhinged, but also Baloo did it. So like, I think that would have worked better if he'd been the only person to sing in the movie.
Mm-hmm. I think too, my take is just going to be that this is obviously not Christopher Walken's best contribution to a musical piece of media. I think he did much better in the music video for Choice of Weapon by Fatboy Slim. Weapon of Choice.
Yes, I mean, it's hard to dispute that, though. That's like, that's such a high bar, Marie, come on.
Which is another Dune reference. You're welcome.
Let's talk some about the animation, because I think we have a lot to say there. Mm-hmm. But first, this is where most of my fun facts lie. Jon Favreau said that the idea of going out to the jungle and shooting this, it just felt like it wouldn't have the magic that the 1967 film had. There was a dreamlike quality to it. There was a surreal quality to it. It was a high watermark for character animation, and to me, that's what I remember about it. And so I wanted to make sure we preserved that. And what Alan Horn said was, look at the technology. Look at Life of Pi, Avatar. Why not use the technology to create a whole world that transports you? Let's really embrace this new technology and see what we can do if we push its limit. Principal photography for the film took place entirely on sound stages at Los Angeles Center Studios in downtown Los Angeles. The animal characters were created entirely in computer animation, with the assistance of footage of real animal movement, the actors recording their lines, and performance capture for reference. The production team underwent a thorough process to realistically convey the animals speaking, while still making them perceptually believable to the audience. Favreau researched earlier films featuring anthropomorphic animals, including Walt Disney's animated features such as Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs and Bambi, as well as modern films such as Babe, and adopted certain techniques from those films into The Jungle Book. I don't know what certain techniques exactly means, but nearly 70 separate species of animals native to India are featured in the film, with several species being portrayed as 150% larger than their actual counterparts. Jim Henson's creature shop was brought in to provide animal puppet figures for Sethi to act against, although none ultimately appear in the finished film. The animal puppets were performed by Artie Esposito, Sean Johnston, Alan Trotman, and April Warren. Props
to
them.
You had puppets and you didn't put them in the film?
It's such a shame.
Favreau, I'm so upset about that.
Favreau utilized motion capture with certain actors, expressing a desire to avoid overusing the technology in order to prevent evoking an uncanny valley effect. Around 1,000 remote jungle locations in India were photographed and used as a reference in post-production. Weta Digital were the ones responsible for animating the King Louie sequence, with visual effects supervisor Keith Miller adding that it was important for John to see Christopher Walken in the creature. So we took some of the distinctive Walken facial features, iconic lines, wrinkles, and folds, and integrated them into the animated character. Favreau expressed a desire in wanting the film's 3D shots to imbue the abilities of the multi-plane camera system utilized in Disney's earlier animated films. At Favreau's behest, the idea was extended into the film's version of the Walt Disney Pictures opening production logo, which was recreated as a hand-painted cel-animated multi-plane logo in homage to the animated films of that era, also incorporating the word presents in the same font as the 1967 film's opening credits. The film's ending also features the original physical book that opened the 1967 film.
Yes, I loved, loved, loved that ending. That was the most fun I had.
It was very cute.
I mean, because, don't lose your train of thought, Marie. You all used to love the pop-up books, you know, or books that did that. And
what
it
kid
was
doesn't love
so
pop-up books?
Well done. Oh my gosh, I loved it.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the ending was stuttering in where I was watching it, so I couldn't enjoy it fully.
Aww.
But I did notice, I felt really happy noticing in the beginning that they did that sort of, what was it, the layered cell animation rig?
Yeah.
Yeah, pull away from the logo into the jungle. And I was like, that looks like it's animated, because it is.
Yeah.
But it looks like, you know, how they did it with 2D animation. So it was a fun homage, and I really enjoyed that detail.
Yeah, no, it was a fun way to open it.
Also, no offense to Weta Productions, who were doing Christopher Walken's King Louie, but you had Jim Henson. You had his company. Like, Weta Production is an amazing special effects group. I've seen some of their other stuff. They worked on, like, a bunch of stuff, including Lord of the Rings.
Yes, they're most known for that, I would say.
Yeah. And, like, they did great. I think they are probably what really sold me on that, like, scary moment with chasing through the temple. But also, when he was just sitting, I would have loved to have a puppet there.
Always down for puppets.
They could have made a puppet too. It doesn't have to be Jim Henson's company. Could we Weta Productions making a puppet?
Are they good at that? I have no idea.
I think they do some visual, like physical practical effects too.
My overall take on the CGI in this movie is that it looks nice, but also obviously CG for the characters. I don't truly believe the animals are there, but that did kind of, I guess it became less of a problem the deeper that you get into the movie, because you kind of just get used to it, you know. But, you know, I think I was especially thinking this early in the movie, seeing the little CG wolf cubs, that I'm like, those are not real dogs.
Early in the movie, I had a lot more of what I would call Vaseline moments, where it looks like things are smeared with Vaseline.
And yeah, yeah.
Not visually appealing. And that does get better as far as the uncanny valley for me, but there were still a lot of moments that were visually difficult to read, especially during, as I stated, the action scenes, which I couldn't really see what was going on all the time. And even when I could physically track each motion, I was just like, this is just not doing it for me with how the animation lines up.
I agree.
So that left something to desire, even when the animal motions were on point.
Yeah, I agree. I noticed that too early on with a couple of the action scenes. I forget who was chasing Mowgli. Maybe it was Bagheera or something. But yeah, like they were in the trees, and the color of the trees and the and the animals were so close that it made it harder to read.
And I think you commented when the monkeys were stealing Mowgli was another scene that kind of turned into visual soup a little bit.
That and the smeariness of the characters, like of Mowgli when he is ostensibly CG being tossed to and fro. So yeah, like visually, I think that was one that was kind of a knock against it. And then the other thing I wanted to bring up is the initial confrontation with Shere Khan and the wolves as they were. Was it with Shere Khan and the wolves? I don't know. At least a couple of scenes with the wolves kind of communicating with their body, but also speaking. And it was not as clear visually their emotion compared to what they were saying, just because I don't know if they needed to like over exaggerate what an animal would be doing, or at least kind of more clear about like ears mm-hmm. back and stuff like that. But what they were saying, I think Giancarlo Esposito's character as well, like you said, with his voice, he doesn't convey it as well. So you really would need to put it in the wolf's posture. And they didn't do that. So there was a gap there.
Yeah, there's even some moments where I think the wolves, when a bunch of them walk to Shere Khan to like confront him, I would like if they were like, I don't know, just dip down a bit, like, and growling and showing, exactly. like, this is a wolf. It's acting yeah. like a scary wolf. But they were just sort of standing there, and they looked like wolves. I think by that point, I had sort of gotten, like, used to how all the animals looked.
Yeah.
I feel like they did in the end scene, though, as far as, like, they were crouched down and growling, and I won't go into any more detail than that. But some of the things that I really liked about the visuals is an incredible job in the environment, the actual jungle, the trees, mm-hmm. even the ruins were just so believable to me. And then I really, really loved a lot of the animal CG. I loved like the dirt and the moisture that would cling to like Bagheera's fur. And I really loved the way the mother wolf looked and when Mowgli would interact with her. The one that to me fell the shortest was Baloo, some of his up close. To me, it just didn't look as, I didn't buy it. You know, it looked more CG to me. It didn't look like a real bear. And probably that's because, you know, of animals. I've seen a lot of bears not up close like that. But mm-hmm. but in Yellowstone and other things. So I think that was a little bit hard of a sell for me. Whereas Bagheera, I feel like, looked really good. And I think then Bagheera Shere Khan
generally looked good.
Yeah, and then Shere Khan. Oh, my gosh. The way the other depictions and all of the other things, he is not as scarred and as, I don't know, damaged looking, and between that eye and his face and things, oh my gosh, he was so terrifying. The other visual that really got to me was the Ka scene where not with the combination of the tree and where he was and then how they would pan back and then go in, but panning back, you notice that the coils not only were on the branch by him, but across a branch, and just the sheer size of Ka yeah. started becoming evident, and you're just going, oh my gosh. And so, yeah, I just think that was really, really well done.
I like how they sell the enormity of Ka, and also how through, I guess, sort of the movements of certain animals, they sell them as like part of nature, especially. A choice I enjoyed was the elephants being sort of portrayed as this force of nature. Mm-hmm. And they don't get a lot of animation and a lot of, you know, expressiveness because they're usually sort of off in the distance. But it still sold that enormity. So when they need to make something feel big, I know they made the animals physically bigger on the screen. But like when they need someone to feel big and enormous and such, they can do it between Louie and the elephants and Ka. It sells.
And also, King Louie, very big. And yes. I like how droopy big. His arms are mm-hmm. and the fur on his arms. And also, his face really is Christopher mm-hmm. Walken.
Yeah.
he, like, the especially the way that he's, like, the facial expression he has when Baloo comes in of just, like, this confusion and, like, disgust with, like, why is this thing here? Why is this thing bothering me?
like, yeah.
It was good. I really like King Louie.
I will say, though, my favorite animal as far as, like, animation and just appearance goes is definitely the Pangolore. I love the little armored
Pangolin?
Guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Pangolin, yeah.
Yeah. No, those are so cool. I love those. Yeah, this.
The line of, like, you're more endangered, or you're going to be more endangered than you are.
Yeah. Which is like, so Baloo has an understanding of the idea of endangered species. Interesting. That's got to be a story. Got to just put that to the side.
Well, the pangolin might like lament about not
having. Oh my god, maybe. Yes, yes. I also, for animation, I do need to mention the transition between Ka's eye and the cave. That was real smooth. I like that.
Yeah. And also the way the red flower, like, that was just, that was well done. When they went into abstraction, they could make fire look like a flower in a really interesting visually way.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to say on the size was, since this is more true to life animation, you get really grounded in the size, and that made Shere Khan scary in terms of, like, in comparison to Bagheera. You see how slight Bagheera is and how dangerous it is for Bagheera to go up against Shere Khan. So I was always concerned whenever they would kind of come up to each other.
Yeah.
And another visual thing that I liked in the scene where Shere Khan goes to the wolf's den and looking for Mowgli, and he goes up to Akela and then plops down in a more casual state, and, like, visually what that was kind of doing of, you know, like, okay, I'm not here to fight. And so then Akela kind of goes down too.
And also, I'm making a power move by coming up here right next to you and, like, sitting down.
Yeah, yeah. At the I mean, kind of like your throne almost of this.
Definitely. And then, of course, the turn where he just kills him. Shere Khan kills Akela as a like, warning. And then he stays here. He's like, I came up here and I'm the only one here now. And I won't leave until I get what I want.
Yeah, yeah.
That was good character work and interesting visual stuff.
Some other visuals that really I really enjoyed was when they were is when Bagheera and Baloo were following and trying to rescue Mowgli when the monkeys got him. Well, first of all, that was so scary, the monkeys grabbing Mowgli scene. And some of it, yes, I agree, was, you know, when he was being tossed in the trees, could have been, you know, maybe was not as perfect, but I just bought that, especially the size difference they had with some of the monkeys in this whole troop. But them grabbing and tossing him, oh my gosh, that was like, oh my gosh. But then when they were, when Bagheera and Baloo were climbing up this cliff after them, but even the sheer volume of the monkeys that were scaling it combined with the sound, it was so terrifying. But believable to me.
Thanks for mentioning sound. Does anyone have anything they want to say about sound design? And also, if you have an animation note, you could slip it in here. It's fine.
I have an animation note.
Go for it.
Or more a camera thing, or camera and lighting, I guess.
Sure. Yeah.
I just noticed a couple times they would like zoom the camera in and give it sort of this dynamic feeling, which I did not like. And it happened, I remembered it because we're talking about Baloo and Bagheera climbing, and there's like this wide shot showing them the two off the cliff, and then it zooms in with this sort of shaky cam. And I'm like,
yeah,
you have absolute, I know that this camera movement was purposeful because you have absolute control of the camera because all of this is CGI. And I don't get why they did that. And I don't like that they did that.
Because people like doing shaky cam.
Yeah, there was like good moments too with that nice line about like, look at me, just only look at me.
Yeah, that's exactly how he said it.
What?
Yeah, that's exactly how he said it, really romantic like that. that's what I remember.
Yeah.
I
think he said something to the effect of like, only look up at me or something like that. But
yeah, I substituted something in my head there. But yeah, so like there were good parts of that, but that particular shaky cam sort of was another thing that made me like, I don't know if reminded me that I'm watching a movie is a good way of putting it.
Yeah, but you feel the filmmaking technique.
It felt constructed. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, exactly, constructed.
Does anybody have any sound
Yeah, I was just going to say, I did, there were just so many little added sound things, whether it's the pieces of the rock falling, as well as the crumbling of the ruins when Louis in the terrifying scene that he's chasing him, to even the sound of the fire, and then the different sounds of the Shere Khan digging his, climbing up that tree, and... But different scenes with Shere Khan and the sound of wood and claws in wood and scraping. I really immersed me in it even more.
One thing that I kind of missed and I want to call out in like story is kind of the themes that we were seeing in the other films about like identity and where I belong. And this one... touched on it, but the focus was kind of on like tools and doing what you can do versus what you're trying to be.
There was a lot of focus and mentioning of the having a people.
Yeah.
That was kind of one of the biggest themes of like the idea that Mowgli needs to have a people. It was the wolves. Now it supposedly should be the men and Louis's like, it could be us. And we'll talk about in spoilers where the film kind of lands, but that seems to be its biggest thematic through line and Mowgli's kind of difference from the jungle that he's in and the signature of him being a man is represented through his tricks, as they're called.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Well, to me, I also then the theme of identity was also strong because he, with your saying belonging, he was put down for not being more like the cubs and that wolves don't do this and that's not the wolf way until the end when he was embraced for being himself.
I thought something that was interesting was there were a couple of the speaking parts. Not all animals spoke, and there was one time where kind of Mowgli called
when
he got some fruit and the little creature came up to him wanting some food, and he's like, do you have a language, or can you speak, but I think he's like, you know, can I talk to you?
It really begs so many questions.
It fully does.
And it doesn't answer any. I like that it doesn't answer any because it doesn't have to.
But it's also like, why did it bring it up?
Is that lampshading? Does that count as lampshading?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I guess it does bring up questions because, of course, Louis can speak, but
The other monkeys don't ever seem to.
Yeah, they don't.
Which is, like, in opposition to the animated one. Like, they do fully speak in that.
Yeah, yeah. So I thought that was interesting. And it doesn't necessarily mean the size, because there was the little mice that...
And some of the monkeys are really big.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, you're right, yeah. So that's an example of a small creature that talks.
Some of the little mice spoke, but it was more short. Like, they would repeat words.
Yeah.
But they could speak. So that was interesting.
Let's go on to the part that our podcast is named after. How's it hold up? The only thing that I have is about sequels, which is to say that as of 2023, a planned sequel to the film is still in development. It was announced pretty shortly after this film came out in like 2016. So it's been kind of sitting there for a while. And it was originally like Jon Favreau was supposed to be working on it and Lion King at the same time. But then he focused just to Lion King. So it's a little unclear where that's at, to what degree it's still happening, but as of 2023, it is supposedly still happening.
It's funny that he put his effort into Lion King, because wasn't Lion King one of the B-team movies originally? Like,
you don't want to work
on Lion King, you want to work on this good movie.
But we all know what Lion King ended up being.
Yeah.
But yes, no, and also we know that the Lion King remake did very well financially, despite the fact that it shouldn't. So
we'll talk about that whenever we watch it.
I guess I'll put it this way. I haven't seen it, but I'm looking way less forward to that than I was to this. I had at least heard some good things about this. And yeah.
I think that's also
not Lion King.
Part of what colored my expectations and maybe that reputation of live action remakes, especially The Lion King, colored my expectations coming in, and maybe I didn't give this film the benefit of the doubt as much as I should have, but like, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with being biased.
Yeah.
I'm allowed.
And I think your love of the original one is definitely something that you can't not bring into it.
100%.
Yes.
Was there anything that really stood out to y'all for this section, though, in terms of, I don't know, isms or stuff that just felt like it took you out of the time and place, or I don't know, anything like that?
I have already gone on my Bill Murray and Dune rant, so I don't have to put it here.
No, and I was just going to say the opposite. I was glad that I didn't really get to know any of the other human characters in the movie, and there wasn't, again, a love interest or someone trying to lure him away from the jungle or anything like that. So I appreciated that.
I think part of me has a hard time saying how it's holding up because it hasn't had much time to age.
It's had more time than you might think. It's closer to a decade now than 5 years.
That's just a fancy way of saying it's been more than 5 years, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, goodness.
But not quite 10.
Let's go on to our...
Spoiler alert!
So, yeah, the movie... Just to briefly describe it so Mom doesn't have to. The ending of the... You know how she does. The ending of the movie is Mowgli finds out Akela was killed, so he goes to the man village and steals a torch to go confront Shere Khan, lighting half the jungle on fire in the process, which he doesn't really notice until he's actually confronting Shere Khan, and Shere Khan points it out. But yeah, he decides not to fight with fire, kind of, and then his... animal friends all come to help him, but then he rushes into the fire and goes and like makes a trap using his tricks, and ultimately Shere Khan dies, and then he gets the help from the elephants to put out the fire that he caused, and everyone's friends, and this version of the Jungle Book decides to go with Mowgli stays in the jungle, actually.
Yeah.
For now. And as far as the themes that we were talking about, I think you could say that Mowgli has decided that he's his own people, but also that his people is all people. So,
in the jungle.
All the jungle people, yes.
Yeah.
Which, it's a good message, be yourself.
And it definitely sets it apart from other versions we've seen, because you know that's not where the original goes. Jungle Book 2 is still mostly like he lives with the people, but sometimes they see the animals.
Yeah.
A little bit of mediation. The 1994 one, where does that, I think that lands with him still. Does that one land with him still in the jungle?
I think it does, because he's the king.
Yeah. I think it was sort of a Tarzan thing where she's like, I'm gonna stay in the jungle too with him, or something like that.
That's more vague, but he kind of confronts the tiger and doesn't back down a way that makes him at an even level.
Yeah. And then Mowgli's story is bad.
I don't even remember the end. Don't tell me.
I don't either. Who cares? But no, I think it definitely, it was interesting how it did it. It set it apart from the original, especially.
I think I really enjoyed the end of the film, except for two specific things. Like, I have a lot of cool things I can, like, praise it for, but there are two things I didn't like, and I'm not sure which ones to put first.
Go with the thing you dislike Sandwich. First.
No. Okay. Good, bad, good.
Oh, wait, it was...
Okay.
Okay. Oh, it was two good things?
Oh, is it two bad things?
I know there's... I know there's at least two good things.
Oh, okay, then yeah, good, bad, good. Two... Valor's right, Sandwich it.
Okay, so I really... So, kind of going in chronological order, I really enjoyed him stealing the fire. I made a note comparing him to Prometheus, which I don't quite remember all that, but that and him not realizing that the forest is, or the jungle is going to be on fire as soon as we, the audience, do. Yeah. I like it when a movie lets you see something. I like dramatic irony, and this film does do it quite a bit. And certainly, Idris Elba is bringing a lot to the scenes, especially confronting Mowgli that way. And then the line of Bagheera saying, fight him like a man, which, out of context, not the best. But in context, it's like, oh, it's like, embrace your nature, but you don't have to leave the jungle to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately... A lot of these fight scenes, because of how it was lit, with just the red glow of the fire and already sort of me having a hard time tracking the CGI, it felt very muddy and hard to follow. And then, you know, Mowgli doing his tricks to defeat Shere Khan was very cool until Shere Khan fell into a fire and seemed to spontaneously combust. He just went up and like, I have a note here that says, I guess CGI tigers are very combustible. Logically, I can say like, oh, he threw up a bunch of embers in his impact. But no, it looked like he just went up in flames and was made of something very flammable himself.
They had to symbolically have it be the fire that kills him. They froloed him.
Yeah, not the fall.
I thought that the pacing of the final confrontation was a little slow. It felt like a lot of setup needed to be done for Mowgli's trick. Mm-hmm. But I'd say overall that I felt like the final confrontation was better than the originals, especially conceptually, execution-wise. It was all right.
Yeah, and
I think you're right that the part of it is just everything's red. That I think, you know, red kind of in film language tends to signal danger and an escalation of things. But when we sit in it that long, it loses some of that.
Yeah.
And yeah. And I think I took the ending more, or Shere Khan's demise, that he broke his back and whatever didn't get up. And again, that the ember's going up, not necessarily him combusting.
Sure.
Is kind of how I interpreted. Yeah. But what I also appreciated was, again, that sense of danger and that terrifying scene where, like, Shere Khan even, like, just slashed his chest, you know, through, because again, so many times when you have a fight scene, and you have someone inside something and you have something pawing at them, like they're never hitting. But I believe that under, you know, almost every minute that Mowgli was still in danger of getting lacerated by Shere Khan, because again, he, mm-hmm. you know, it was so believable and so fast paced, but so him just continually trying to get him. And then I also, it was interesting where Shere Khan, that dilemma that he seemed to have of going out further and further on the limbs, but like hearing and yeah. knowing that, wait a minute, this isn't probably the best thing, but that almost fight within him, like, I want to kill this man cub. So I'm, you know, I'm going to keep pushing, even though I know this is, you know, I shouldn't.
Yeah. Hubris.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just had a thought, which is that on a color level, Jungle Book 2 did its final confrontation with Shere Khan better, because they go into like a ruined temple or whatever.
That's right.
But they have to jump over some lava, so there's the red there, so it introduces the danger of the red, but then most of it is taking place in this like kind of blue dark area until it escalates into the final thing where they run up steps and oh no, there's like lava down below, and they jump and they're like hanging on, and he jumped, you know, like, and there's the appropriate escalation as far as the color grade of there's all this red, you know.
Yeah,
and that's one of the few compliments Jungle Book 2 gets.
Mm-hmm. Closing out some of the things, I feel like the movie ends very abruptly, but I do like the conclusion that they went with.
Yeah, it's cute.
I like the elephants coming in and showing themselves as this force of nature with Bagheera's narration. I like that Mowgli's mom is now the head wolf. I wrote mm-hmm. Girl boss in my notes. So good for her. And yeah, so overall, besides the fact that it was another action scene sort of that pulls me out, between the music sort of feeling generic and the being hard to track visually, the actual story beats of it I really enjoyed. And, you know, those moments towards the end with the elephants and Mowgli's mom and Mowgli integrating himself into the jungle more seamlessly now that he's accepted himself. It works.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know why those little rats going, Mowgli, it's Mowgli. I'm like, I don't know you.
Yeah, exactly.
Mowgli doesn't know you. You're not friends.
Exactly.
Stop it. I thought the pop-up book thing was very cute, as previously mentioned. And also, I got more if I want to be like you. And it was sung a little better. And I enjoyed that. It's like, did King Louis live? We don't really know, because this is happening in a pop-up book. So it's like, yeah. You could interpret it as he actually is still alive, or you could interpret it as this is a pop-up book. So, because like Shere Khan's also in the pop-up book, you know, so.
Yeah. One thing I did like, kind of going back to how they visually communicated Shere Khan kind of being unsure about stepping on the branches. I think that's one thing that I would have liked to see more with the animals, of like the step, the like the push back, looking down at it, and like Jan said, like going anyway. But that was a good like body language that they had.
Yeah.
Anything else with spoilers? No more spoilers. Let's go on to our favorites and least favorites. We're going to do our usual ones here. And then also we're going to rank our favorite, our from least favorite to favorite Jungle Book. I'm sorry, Marie, that you only are ranking two films, but that is how it is.
That's entirely fair.
We're going to do that before we actually give this movie a star rating. Yeah. So what was your least favorite scene in the movie? Ka for me, because Scarja just fully took me out of it.
For me, actually, it's going to be the opening scene where I can see your point of view, Marie, as far as the action, because it was confusing to me in that Mowgli looked terrified during that whole race, and I was just kind of confused.
It was emphasizing the danger. Yeah,
but it was just every time I saw his expression, he just looked terrified.
I think
every
it was trying to misdirect you.
Yeah, I just disliked that, because I was kind of like, wait, what's going on? Are they being pursued? You know,
Which was purposeful, but you can agree that it's, you can be like, I don't like that choice.
Yeah.
And especially too, for me, the fact that you're like, oh, are the wolves chasing him? But I know the Jungle Book. So I'm like, no, the wolves are his family. So they're running together. We're doing this weird framing for what reason? And then the wolves run past him. And you're like, okay, so what are chasing the wolves and him? Oh, it's Bagheera. This is like a fun thing. Why did you frame it like... Why is the soundtrack these... And this is kind of part of what pulled me... Or pulled this movie down for me is too, is whenever there's like an action scene, I don't really like the soundtrack and what it does. So opening with that was not a good first impression. So
Marie says boo to John Debney. Marie has a personal vendetta again.
Listen, I like How to Train Your Dragon. That's my defense. I can like soundtracks.
Does it?
I can like soundtracks.
Yeah, yeah. That's fine.
I'll agree with the first scene as well, that intro.
What was your favorite scene in the movie? If it happens to be in spoilers, be vague.
This is going to be hard for me because there's so much.
I mean, King Louie for me. I guess I'll be... I didn't fully love the song. It was fine. I knew it was coming because of the research. So I knew that that song was in there. But anyways, I'll say especially once he starts giving chase and stuff. But really all of it. I just like King Louie.
I think my favorite scene, and this might be interesting because I think this might be the equivalent scene from my favorite scene in the original Jungle Book, is that scene of Bagheera and Baloo talking about Mowgli's fate and getting interrupted then by Mowgli saving the baby elephant from the pit.
Kathy Jr., I assume. I assume the elephants still have those names.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think that's the same favorite scene I have for the original one. I think there's just a lot of moments in that scene where it's like, this is Mowgli being clever. This is an emotional scene between Bagheera and Baloo, and I have that sort of enjoyment of those two characters interacting, even these versions that I might not like as much, especially Baloo's version. Not sorry to Bill Murray for that one. And just also like how it's just capped off by Mowgli being so nonchalant of like, hey guys, like as if he just didn't do something incredibly brave and interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
And I also like narratively how it builds to sort of Bagheera seeing like, oh, like his ingenuity is good, actually.
I think for me, it's going to be the scene when Bagheera is first taking him to leave the jungle after he's, you know, doesn't want his wolf pack to be hurt. And he's just chittering away and arguing, you know, and like, you know, really and blah, 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 you know. And then out of, you know, all of a sudden Bagheera's like, be still, you know, whatever. And then Shere Khan flying, and then the fight between Bagheera and then him with all the buffaloes, and him having jumping down that ravine and finally jumping on one of the water buffaloes, just that whole, and you know, Shere Khan pacing up on top, that whole scene was just so riveting to me.
Yeah, I'll agree with you.
It's a good
get
one.
A little bit of a Mowgli, but then like an intense scene. But like you can kind of feel like
you're like, don't Mufasa him.
Yes, I did see that.
Yes.
Before we say least favorite character, I need to not forget to say this, which is that Rocky the Rhino's in this movie, the cut character from the original film.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
The rhino that's there at the water pit who has a daughter, that's Rocky.
Cool. Okay, sure.
He was nice, yeah, though.
It was so baffling for me to read that in the credits list. It ultimately ended up being, he didn't even get named. So, you know, that's much more understandable. And the amount of animals that are in this, it was easy to slip that in. But it's still like baffling to me that Rocky cameoed in here at all. Who was your least favorite character?
Ka.
Because ScarJo.
I think she didn't do much. I think she had a functional purpose. Otherwise, it was like one and done.
Mm-hmm. I also just don't know why Baloo bothered to save Mowgli.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what his motivation was. Yeah. I guess it's supposed to just show that he's kind of already a good dude, even if he's a sleazebag, but it's sort of weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm gonna say Ka.
I think it's Baloo for me because of Bill Murray's performance.
You're like, I'm just not about it.
Yeah, that's fair. Honestly.
I'm kind of torn between Baloo and Ka. I think I'm going to say Ka also, just because, you know, Baloo had more time to grow on me, whereas sure. Ka didn't.
Who was your favorite character in the movie?
I think
it's King. It's King Louie for me.
That's not surprising.
But it's a close second of Mowgli. I don't have his name pulled up again, but kid who plays him, he's
phenomenal,
adorable.
Yeah, yeah.
Very very fun to watch. I believe his emotion. He's good.
Yeah, believable with his little tools, inventions, whatever. Yeah.
But I also just like big, scary monkey.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I really, really liked Bagheera, but I am going to give it to Mowgli because that kid, he just had me engaged from start to finish.
Bagheera is also good. I think that'd be my third favorite character.
Yeah. I think Bagheera is my second favorite.
Ben Kingsley does a good job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think if I was, sorry, would rank Mowgli, then Bagheera, and then Shere Khan.
Idris Elba also does good.
Shere Khan's way up there. He was
completely
believable as something
fully
scary, terrifying.
And he could be kind of casual and still terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to say that I got to go with Shere Khan just for how well he's acted by Idris Elba and just sort of the presence he brings to the film. I wasn't sold on him at first, but towards the end, I was just like, no, that's a really scary tiger. Feel silly saying it like that, but it's yourself that does it very good.
This movie isn't actually a musical, so I'm not gonna bother with songs. Let's rank the Jungle Book movies. Now, we haven't given an official rating to this movie yet, but still, you have an idea in your heart of where it sits among the rest that we've watched. We'll start with Marie, because it's going to be really easy for Marie
to
rank
guess.
The
I'm
only
not,
two movies.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be able to guess what she's going to rank first.
It's hard to imagine, but let's let Marie tell us.
So, I think...
From least favorite to favorite.
Okay, so my favorite is going to be the original... and then my least favorite is going to be Mowgli's story because you built it up as being so bad.
Fair.
So you'd put this in the middle?
Yeah. Because you've told me how bad things can get, I think this is going to be in the middle.
You're like, I'll believe you that's the low bar. Who would like to go next, starting from least favorite to favorite?
I'll go. I'll say... Mowgli's story, bottom of the barrel, in the garbage. I guess two. Jungle Book 2 is the next one. And then mid, I'll go with this one, you know, much more removed from those next two, from the bottom two. Enjoyable overall. I think it really depends on what you're looking for, honestly. Like, if you're looking for a direct remake, it might not be for you, but just enjoyable. Then 94. Then maybe original, actually. Just not too far away, but a vibe, good music for sure. But I think as an overall story and package, I did like the 94 one a lot, and I had seen that before, and it was kind of nostalgic in that way.
Interesting. Okay. I'm going to go with my least favorite. Well, shouldn't be a shock. is going to be the
Mowgli story.
The Mowgli story. Mowgli story is least favorite. Then Jungle Book 2 is next. Third for me, actually, and my top, the last three are very close for
the
me,
bottom
actually.
Two are very separated.
Yes, yes. I want to make that clear.
And the top three are close.
I want to make that clear. 1994, then this movie, and then the original. And the reason that I put this movie above the 1994 for me is, as much as I enjoyed 94, and I really did, is I... just the nostalgia of the characters and the relationship between between especially Bagheera, Mowgli, Baloo, you know, even Shere Khan, all of those dynamics. I liked being able to really be in that, as opposed to, you know, obviously 94 was that was not it. So, yeah.
My least favorite is easily Mowgli's story. It's garbage. Don't watch it. Jungle Book 2 isn't much better. Shere Khan was good in it. Tony Jay did a great job voicing him. And Smash Mouth's cover of I Want to Be Like You that's in the credits is one of the greatest of all time, and I will not accept arguments about that.
I need to go listen to that now. So far, by the way, my favorite cover
need to do that.
Of I Want to Be Like You, just for the record, is I think it's Pretty Glee Monster, which is a Japanese band who does some covers of Disney songs every now and then. I thought it was cute.
I have to look into that. That sounds amazing. Then number three for me would be this one. I big gap between number four and number three. Yeah. I liked this one. I think it was the pacing could have probably been tightened a little bit for me. The not everything fully hit, but there was a lot that I liked, and I definitely can see why this is generally one of the more well-liked of the remakes. It felt like it differentiated itself enough from the original to be worth being its own movie, rather than just being like a carbon copy of the original, but with more lifeless visuals. Then I'm going to put, and these two are pretty close, 1994 Jungle Book. It was such a surprise, such a wonderful, it's just a fun film. Like, your mileage may vary. We've all been praising it. Some people might watch it and be like, you like this movie that much? But for me, it was a fun, romantic adventure thing. All the actors are fun to watch doing their things. The animals, it goes for a vibe of them not talking. So they're just like his silent animal friends who help him out and stuff. It's just fun. It's just a fun movie. I really enjoyed it. It was a surprise. I knew nothing about it, so I had no idea what that would be like. And then the original 1967 has to be my number one. That soundtrack is iconic for me. It's just a really good comfort movie, and it's nice and short too. The 94 and the 2016 are not short movies, whereas the original is like a nice short little bite-sized thing to go watch. Yeah, it's iconic for me. I watched it so many times as a kid, and I still listen to the soundtrack a bunch, so that has to be my number one. But the top three aren't too far apart, and especially the top two are very close for me. They're just hugely different in what they're going for and what they're doing.
Yeah. A thing I notice when comparing the different ones is I think in a lot of the Disney live action remakes, from what I've heard, they take criticisms of the original film and try and fold it into the movie.
Yes.
Which I hear doesn't work for some of them, especially Beauty and the Beast has made some changes.
Not looking forward to that.
Yeah. That don't get the criticisms don't get folded into the plot really effectively. And I feel like in this one, I know a criticism we had a lot of the original is oh, we don't really know the wolves. And they dealt with that very, I mean, like, not perfectly, but...
No, but...
They still showed the wolves, and this is the one where you care about the wolves the most.
Yeah.
That's a criticism. Unfortunately, there are some times where they call attention to something that, like, maybe is a question you have when you watch the original. Like, hey, how does Mowgli speak to animals? And they have that little line about, do you have a language? And it's like...
it's like, what does this mean? If Tim Curry were in this movie...
Oh yeah.
Who would he play? I already thought about this while you guys were talking about favorites and least favorites, and so hear me out. Baloo.
Yeah, I actually that's what okay. I was going to say. No, that's what I was going to say.
He could still okay. do a kind of sleazier take mm-hmm. on Baloo, mm-hmm. but he's actually a good voice actor.
Yeah, and he's charming, and so like his being like sleazy.
And who doesn't charming. Want to hear exactly. Tim Curry sing?
I know.
Like, yeah. Come on.
No, I agree with you 100%.
I think it would have made the movie better.
Mm-hmm. I know that that's the answer I want to go with. Part of me wants to be contrarian and be like, no, we should have Tim Curry as Ka. Let's replace Scarlett Johansson. But like,
on the pure metric of like how much it would increase the quality of the voice acting in the role, that one is definitely like the biggest jump up in quality if you were to do mm-hmm. that.
Also, just imagine Tim Curry doing the like Mowgli, this is where you're from, and it's like, hi Tim Curry, you are a snake and telling me the story, but I can tell it's Tim Curry. But no, I think Baloo being played by Tim Curry in this version would really improve the quality of the movie for me. I did not enjoy Bill Murray's performance. But the question is then, they wrapped Bill Murray's sort of affectations and mannerisms and sort of made lines made for him, like Bill Murray-isms. Would there be Tim Curry-style
affectations and stuff? Oh, you better believe it. You better believe it. He's going to like flourish with his like paws and stuff.
Yeah.
He's got to have those.
Do you think that would be really good?
I think it would be better than Bill Murray-isms, personally.
Mm-hmm. Oh, actually, no. I want to change my answer now that I think about it.
Oh?
I think mentioning how they brought some of the stage actors and brought some of their physicality and stuff into the characters. King Louie being Tim Curry and having King Louie have Tim Curry's face.
I mean,
that's a thing look, I have to consider.
I'm not going to say that would be bad. I did really enjoy Christopher Walken in that role, but like, yeah, that'd be fun.
I'm going with it because I think it would be funny to see.
I think King you're Louie, right.
But with Tim Curry's face. And that's the only reason.
Let's go on to our overall consensus and what we would rate it.
I would, especially for a remake around this of this time, I would recommend it as a Jungle Book film. Yeah, I think I'd recommend it. It's a different take on the story. I think it has something on its own to give. Don't hold out for the music. Like, that's not the thing that it has to give. So I think your mileage may vary, honestly. So light recommendation, I suppose. I will rate it a 3.5. I wouldn't mind seeing this again. I don't think I'd watch it anytime soon, but like if when Parker were older, he sees it, likes it, wants to watch it, I wouldn't hate having it on. Yeah.
I am absolutely going to recommend it, and I think I'm going to go 3.75. I really, really like it. I almost gave it a 4, but yeah, I mean, without remembering what I gave 1994, yeah, I'm kind of torn between a 3.75 and a 4, but I'll stick with 3.75.
So I was absolutely ready to come in here and be like, I give this movie a 1. I think if you asked me at the start of this recording, like, Marie, what do you want to give the movie? I would be like, 1. It's awful. But I think talking about it and finding things I liked about it, even if I feel like it didn't come together fully, it was a competent movie. It did drag on for me a bit, so that detracts from it. But I think giving it at least like a 2.75, let's say, 2.75.
Solid.
I think giving it its praises as I did really brought me around for the film, rather than just my gut reaction to throw a one star on it and be done.
Sometimes it's best not to go with your immediate gut reaction.
Do you recommend it or?
I mean, if you like the idea of a darker Jungle Book, from the two Jungle Book movies I've seen, it fits that. if you heard that the original Jungle Book, originally the script was much darker and sort of scarier, and you were like, oh, I want to see that film, this film sort of fills that role. So yeah, I think maybe if you watch the Jungle Book when you're a kid and then you become a teenager and you want to watch the Jungle Book, but different and scarier, it would be good. That's I think, like, core recommendation. Overall, yeah, if you want more Jungle Book, it's more Jungle Book. I don't think it's perfect, but it does what it does. So a weak yes.
And I'll recommend it. I'll go ahead and give it a 3.5 also. I think it was a pretty good time. It's not perfect. It's got some issues, but I overall had a nice time. I think kind of like Valerie, I don't think I'll be seeking this out anytime soon, whereas like I could probably pretty easily be convinced to watch the 1994 Jungle Book again like soon. So it doesn't have, I didn't enjoy it that much, but yeah, I like it, and I think as far as the Disney remakes go, it's gold compared to most of them. So I think we did like the Cinderella remake better. Mm-hmm. Though,
yeah.
Thank you all very much for listening.
Yeah, thank you so much for listening.
And thank you for being here, Marie.
Yes, thank you,
Marie.
And thank you for having me.
It's always a pleasure.
I'll be back when they make a animated Dune movie and I make Danica and the gang review it.
Yes, yes.
And please join me any Wednesday at 7 p.m. on Twitch, Nanacritter, NanaCritter. I'm playing Final Fantasy IX, and it's getting really good. Now, of course, Kuja keeps eluding me, and so every time I square off with Kuja, no, there isn't a big battle. But hey, it is getting good, and these lovely ladies join me in the chat, as well as some of my other children. So you are welcome. We are super friendly. So any Wednesday at 7 p.m., join Nanacritter.
And next time, we are, you know, we've had surprisingly, I think, more fun than we expected mm-hmm. with Jungle Book, but we are finally moving away from Jungle Book. And next time, we are still going to have a story that has a primarily animal cast, but we're going to have a much more rural setting. So join us then.
Ooh.
Bye.
All right. Bye. Bye. Love y'all.
Bye. Bye.
This has been How's It Hold Up with Danica Juarez and Jan James. You can find our podcast on Twitter at How's It Hold Up Pod. That's with each word capitalized and no apostrophe. Also, if you'd like to support us, we have a Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/user?u=2790566. Every little bit helps, and even with a minimum pledge, you get access to things you won't hear in our main podcast feed. Check it out for more info. The two pieces of music used in this episode were created by Kevin MacLeod. You can find both The Curtain Rises and Cool Cats at incomptech.com. That's incomptech.com. Both songs were licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. More info on that can be found at http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0. Thanks for listening.
All right. Hi, editing Danica. This is me redoing that line. So this is when I was saying my least favorite Jungle Book movie. And then my least favorite is going to be Mowgli's Story because you've built it up as being just so bad. And let's just get a second take for that. And then my least favorite is going to be Mowgli's Story because you've built it up as just being so bad. And I hit my mic. So one more. And then my least favorite is going to be Mowgli's Story because you've just built it up as being so bad. Okay, do with that what you will. I peaked really bad on bad. And then I write after it, and I hate that noise. Okay, bye.